You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Today I have as my guest Welly Mulya, who is joining me from Jakarta in Indonesia. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, I assumed as much. Although I should have verified that before, like saying you were in the wrong place in the world. So Welly came onto my radar, gosh, probably close to 8 or 9 years ago now, when I started using a platform of his called Zaxa. He then developed an email marketing platform or email service provider that was an offshoot of that, which has since morphed into the platform that I use called Birdsend. And I'm a big fan of the style of Welly's writing, the email communications that he sends out to his clients as well as prospects. By the way, I'm on both lists. I just have a secret prospect list just so I can sort of see what he's doing. He writes humorous and human emails. Like I know that they're from a person because he tells stories. He has a sense of humor. And I really enjoy a lot of the teaching that is included in his emails. But here's the thing. A lot of people potentially might not receive emails from somebody like Welly unless they know what Welly knows and what he's about to teach us today, which is all about the importance of email deliverability and getting it to show up in the right place, which is your email subscriber's inbox. So I'm super, super excited to dive into this subject with you. Welly, welcome.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, indeed. So how was that a setup, right? I love reading your emails. I'm so happy that they show up in my inbox. I don't know what the percentage is, but you're going to tell me in a moment, the percentage of users in the world who are using Google based, whether it's, I was going to say G Suite, but it's now Google Workspace or Gmail, right? I imagine that there's a huge number of people around the world who use that as the way that they receive their emails, but that platform, Google, or their Workspace version of it, which is the professional version of it, does a lot of filtering and doesn't necessarily want every email to show up in front of everybody who uses their tools. So I'd love you to sort of dig into this subject and help explain what happens in that world and what, as email senders, we can do about it.
Yeah. So it's not just Gmail or Workspace, right? It's not just Google. So every mailbox providers, the Yahoo's, Hotmail's, Microsoft, all of these mailbox providers, they do that. They have the spam filters. Of course, the purpose is to make sure that their users get legit emails and not be spammed to death by spammers as well as people who are scammers. So they have to employ these kind of spam filters to filter out only legit emails to go into the people's inbox, right? And with Gmail especially, as we all know, they have the default setup is they have three tabs, which is the once you get into the inbox, they filter you further, right, into the primary tab, and then there's the social tab, and then the promo tab, right? So emails to the social tab is typically emails from the social media platforms like notifications, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And then with the primary tab is meant for a personal conversation between you and someone on a one-on-one basis, or sometimes to a group of people where you send an email and then CC some other people. And that's the main goal of the primary tab. And then the promotions tab is basically Gmail's way of saying that, hey, if this is an email, a promotional email, especially sent from an ESP, they know, right? It's a mass email going out to thousands of, to tens of thousands of subscribers. They know they have this data. Essentially, you are going to get into the promo tab. Not always, but usually promotional emails go into that promo tab. And sometimes also, I hear people, that's not sometimes, a lot of times I also hear people that say that, hey, my email is not promotional, even though I'm sending from an ESP, and they still land in promo tab. And I was also having these issues for years.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
Until May of this year, in the beginning of this year, in February, where I started to especially go into deep research and to make sure to know how this works and to make the emails go out of the promo tab, because I was like I said just now, I was having these issues for years. And then in February, I started the research. I've surveyed my list about it, the questions they have. And then in May of this year, so 3 months later, I actually managed to get my email sent from an ESP, from BirdSend, out of the promo tab. So that's basically how all these filters work. They have in place because, like I said just now, it's because to filter out all these spammers and scammers.
So, some of the things that I remember learning early on in email marketing to avoid either spam or, is that there's a direct interaction with the people who join your list, to have them take an action right at the moment they join the list. So I think, first of all, there's the double opt-in thing, and maybe you can talk about that briefly. But then there's this mechanism that I've seen a lot of folks use, which is in the very first email asking somebody, well, first directing them, hey, if this showed up in your promo tab, drag it over to the inbox, the main tab. By the way, I got rid of all these promo and social tabs, so I don't actually know what they're called. And then the other thing is reply back to us, tell us something, send us a reply message, which might suggest to this email platform that you actually have a relationship with us, and therefore they're going to start putting the emails in the inbox rather than the promotion tab. But I imagine it's a lot more complicated than those simple steps. Can you walk us through some of that?
Yeah, it helps. So by asking people, especially in the beginning of your relationship with your subscribers, to ask them, ask them basically to reply to your email, it helps with the deliverability, because that's one of the factors that the mailbox providers use as a signal to basically understand, okay, this person is having like a conversation with me. This means that they are interested in what I'm doing, my emails, my communication. So you get a point for that, right? By asking people, so if the emails land in the promo tab and you ask people to, hey, if this email lands in the promo tab, please drag and drop it to the primary tab. If they just do this one step, it's actually not helping, because after you do that, there's a confirmation from Gmail or Workspace that says, do you want future emails from this sender to land in the primary tab? So you have to do twice, two actions, right? If you just do the first one, then it's not going to help. If you do both, yes, it's going to help. So if let's say, for example, your emails, I subscribe to your list, your emails land in promo, I moved your email from that promo tab to the primary tab. And then Gmail asked me, do you want future emails? Yes. Okay. Then yes, future emails will be guaranteed to land in my primary, because I have specifically told Google Gmail that I want to receive more emails from you and I want it to land in my primary tab.
I'm assuming the fact that we're talking about this is not a small problem. Do you have some sense, and I imagine you have data from your platform and your users, do you have a sense of what percentage of emails typically, without addressing the problem, are showing up in the promo tab as opposed to the primary tabs?
So when the emails land in promo tab, of course you're going to get less people opening the email, because most people are only opening the primary tab. Most, okay. Some people, yes, there will be a few people who go to the promo tab specifically to look for offers, discounts, and whatnot. But if you are in the if you're not in the e-commerce space where you are specifically looking for products, then it's not going to be, it's going to get worse for you because it's not something, it's not a physical product that people are actively looking discounts for. Okay. So, when you get, so for my case, for example, when I get out of the promo tab and into the primary tab in May, it started in May. I see a bump of up to 73% open rate, and it has stayed consistent till now.
Which by the way, is an extraordinarily high number compared to the average, correct?
The average bump?
No, in terms of the open rate. You said
So 73% is not the open rate, it's the bump.
Oh, it's the bump in your open rate. Okay.
In the open rate. So previously I was getting about 15 to 18% open rate. And then after that, I currently have my average, at least I get a 30%,
which is still well above average, right? I've been looking at numbers.
Yeah, it depends on who. I have a small list. It's only 3,400-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to internet marketers, people who sell like internet marketers, and then that number is, it's big, right? But if you talk to people who are or the content creators, the real content creators who send newsletters instead of emails, they will say it's low because they're getting like 50% open rate.
Ah, okay.
So 40%, 50%. But it really depends. I mean, open rate is not the end all be all. It really depends on what you do with it, right? You can have like a newsletter, you can have like a 50% open rate, but if you're not selling your offers, or you're afraid to sell, for example, and you only send like once a month, then there's a lot of missed opportunity on the table. So open rates, the number of opens is of course a means to get to what we want. Some people, for me, for example, and a lot of other people want to sell our offers. Some people are just too afraid to sell. They just want to give value. And some people just want to bring traffic to their blog posts, etc. So it really depends on your profession and what you're trying to achieve.
Got it. Okay. In terms of sort of what a business is giving up by not addressing this problem, I mean, how much potential lost revenue are they potentially exposing themselves to, and by not addressing the promo tab issue?
So I'm going to give there's a free Google Sheets calculator that you can just plug in into your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically your subscriber list, how big is your list, the average open rate, and the monthly email revenue. You can just plug those numbers and you can see the amount of money you're leaving on the table. I have that. I'm going to give David the link after
this
call.
Yeah.
Right. It's a Google Sheets calculator. So, but to give you a simplistic example, let's say you have 10,000 subscribers, and then you have an average open rate of 10%, and your monthly email revenue is 10K, for example, right? So just by increasing, like getting the emails off of the promo into the primary, I would say you'll get at least a 30% boost, like a 30% boost. So from 10%, you get a 13%, right? 10%, a 30% boost becomes 13%. And then the monthly email revenue will get from 10K to 13K. And that's only for 1 month, number one, right? So you can potentially get 13K instead of 10K. So 3K of $3,000 you're leaving on the table if you don't get your emails out of the promo tab. And that is only for month number one. So for after month two, it will get like, it will not be a direct multiplier, right? Because the law of diminishing returns, but let's say it's 6K. And then month three is 9K, 15K. Mm-hmm. Not that much, but I'm just trying to show a point, prove a point.
Right, here. you're building on to that original number on a monthly basis. You're increasing by smaller amounts, but yeah.
Right, and that's only assuming if you send one email per month. If you send like daily emails, like 20 emails, 15 emails per month, then the number is going to get bigger. But like I said, just of course, it's not going to be a direct multiplier, but it will get bigger nonetheless. And so what I'm trying to say is the longer people delay, if they have a promo issue, because not everyone has this issue, if they their emails are landing in promo tab, the longer they delay this, the more money they're leaving on the table.
Okay. Well, this is an important point. Not everybody has this issue. So I know that I'm sending out, I typically will send out one email a week. I send it out with a split test, and I'm using your tools. So I'm taking advantage of all of the different bells and whistles you offer, a split test on the, subject line, right? To 10% and 10%, right? So then the remaining 80% get the winning subject line based on clicks, because I really want to, reward the subject line that gets the most, follow through activity, right? And then I'll, because I only send once a week on Tuesday, I'll resend the winning subject line 2 days later to try to get some more opens. And I'm averaging somewhere between 35 and 40% open rate. So I'm curious, do I have a promo tab issue or not? Or am I not looking at the right data based on what I just shared with you to even know that?
How much did you say you were getting open rates?
Typically between 35 to 38% is what I've been getting recently.
How much? How big is the list?
It's a small list. It's about 1,100 right now.
Okay, that number is pretty good. It's good. So the most accurate way of testing is to actually send to Gmail and see where it lands, but don't send to your own inbox. I mean, you can do that, but if you do that, you have to do another step, because your own inbox is not really accurate, because you are interacting with the emails, right? And sometimes you open the emails. As all of the actions that you do teach Gmail, like they know that what you're doing, and then they are a machine learning platform. So what I suggest people do if they want to know if their emails land in promo type or not is to create two separate Gmail accounts, right? So why two? Because for one of the accounts, you can do as per usual. You can open the emails to check things. But for the other one, you don't open any emails at all. The reason is you want to simulate as being someone who is very hard to please. So this person is very hard to please. He doesn't open any emails at all. So for that account, for the person who is very hard to please, when the emails land in the primary tab, even for that very hard to please person, that means that there's a high chance that your emails will land in the most of the recipients' primary tab.
Hmm.
So I suggest two accounts. But if that's the most accurate way, but judging from what, based on what you told me, you're getting like about almost 40% open rate. It's very good open rates. Typically, people with promo tab issues are about below 15%, typically, not always the case, because I just recently worked with a client and we got his emails out of the promo tab. Before working with me, he was getting like 35% to 37-38%, and we managed to get it over to 40%. So the rule that I told you just now, below 15%, is just a guess, assumption, an estimate. But if you want to really know, create the Gmail accounts that I spoke of just now.
Okay, that's a great idea, and it's, you know, I think most of us have that other Gmail address that we give out for various reasons, like email lists we sign up for that we don't really want to receive all those emails. So that's a useful use for that extra email address you probably already have. I'm curious, there's some much more technical stuff that that I know that some companies have done. We did this when we registered our domain, you know, originally. And I remember, you know, for heavy senders on your platform, you have a recommendation to go through some, you know, extra steps. How important, what are those things, and how important are they for sort of the average small user who has a small list, you know, in the vicinity of our sizes?
Yeah, I think it's more about how many emails you're sending per month instead of how big is the list. Because, for example, let's say someone has take me, for example, I have a smallish-ish list at 3,400, 3,500, I think. If I were to send just one email per month, so it's only sending to 3,500 people. But if I'm sending daily emails, let's say every day, right? So 30 times 3,500, I don't know what the number is, more than 100K emails, right?
Yep.
So, right. So, we recommend, as an ESP, we recommend that if you have, like, I think the recommendation was, I forgot the exact number, but when you go through past a certain threshold, let's say, for example, 20K emails per month, let's say, then we recommend you to set up your own, domain authentication, like the, DKIM, stuff and SPF. Is called, it's technical terms, basically to tell mailbox providers that you are a legit sender, and then you're using your own authentication instead of us, because you have volume, because all these mailbox providers do is they always pick up the volume. So if you just to send like the example just now, if I'm only sending like 3,500 emails per month, then my reputation, my domain reputation won't be as good as if I were to just use the ESP's domain, because the ESP is sending like hundreds of thousands to millions of emails per month, per day, sorry. And it's a really warm up as opposed to me, like slowly, very, very, very slowly, like 3,500 per month. It will not get any significant signal for the mailbox providers to pick up whether I'm good, bad, or neutral by using our ESP domain, because like I said just now, it's already warm up, it's already in good condition, because we always maintain this to make sure that the domain reputation is high. So you're essentially, people with low volume would essentially be quote unquote borrowing our reputation to send their emails.
So this begs an important question, and I know it's a little bit off our topic in terms of deliverability, except that I imagine that there's some email service providers out there who probably don't have a strong reputation. How do you know who to go with and who not to go with based on that characteristic?
Most legit ESPs would have good reputation because that's their main business. That's the business, right? I mean, I say legit because there are some shady ESPs, which I'm not going to mention. But the legit ESPs, like the big names that you see out there today, I would say all of them have good reputation, because that's their job as an ESP. If they don't have the good reputation, then people are not going to use them. Then they will go bankrupt, etc. So they have to. So I would say that all the major ESPs that you have on the market now typically have good reputation.
And I remember that maybe it was a year or two ago, you announced that you had utilized some sort of backend service to reconfirm and ensure the quality of your sending. What is that, and what is that something that's typically used in the ESP world?
Typically, yes, but I don't know. I don't have the data for each ESP because we don't have access to the data, but I would assume yes. So we use Surety Mail. Surety Mail is basically the founder is the person who actually coined the word deliverability about 20 years ago. She was involved in she was one of the pioneers involved in managing spams. I think this was in late 90s or early 2000s. So she has an extensive background, and she created this company called Surety Mail to basically, we use their service to basically get into their whitelist, because the mailbox providers look at all this. One of the data points they look at is their company. So she is a direct competitor to what was it? The Return Path Validity. Have you heard of the company called? Yeah. So Validity provides a service as well. She also, their company also, Surety Mail also provides a service. So like I said, just it's basically like a whitelist. So our IP address, our pool of IP address are put into their system. And then because they have such good relationships with all the major ESPs, the major providers, mailbox providers look at their list as well, and they say, hey, okay, the IP address of person are in there, so it's safer than if it's not in there. It doesn't mean that we're always going to be inboxing, etc. We still have to do our own work of maintaining deliverability. If for some reason one of the IPs get blacklisted by the anti-spam organizations, for example, Spamhaus, then we still have to fix it. It doesn't mean that it's not like, okay, you will be forever forgiven for your crimes. They know. So we have to still maintain deliverability.
So I imagine the way that I hear you describing the situation, right? You are supporting the sending of emails for your clients who use your platform. Then there's the email mailbox platforms, Google, Yahoo, Hotmail, etc. Outlook, I assume, is one of them too. And I know that may be a little different. So, but it sounds like the relationship in search engine optimization, where like Google is constantly changing the way that they're calculating who shows up on page one or in what position, et cetera, that the mailboxes are fine tuning things all the time. And you have to sort of follow what they're doing to make sure to accommodate what they're doing on behalf of your clients. Is that a reasonable assessment?
On general terms, yes. But with a search engine, Google is dominating, right? It's the dominant player. Same with Gmail. Gmail, I think, accounts for 50%. I don't have the exact number. I will about 40-50% of the market. And but each mailbox providers have their own set of rules. But to be honest, Google makes the most sense, because if you look at the products of Google, they always want one thing, right? They want users to stay on their ecosystem. This means they're giving users what they want. So with emails, they're also giving users what they want. So if we give users, as an ESP, we do the things that Google wants us to do, which is to stay on their platform, make the product as best as possible so that people want to use them, then we have achieved what they want, right? So they're giving us what they want. And it makes the most sense out of all the major mailbox providers. Google's rules makes the most sense. So as long as we are delivering legit emails to people's inbox and they're opening them, interaction is there, then it's a good sign. Google takes that as a good sign, and we give them what they want, and it's perfect. For the other mailbox providers, the Yahoo, Microsoft, it's more tough. Because they really have really strict spam filters. Not to say that Google is more lenient, it's just that their machine learning is more intelligent, I would say, and they will give users what they want more than all the other, like just like Yahoo, Microsoft, Hotmail, etc.
Got it. Okay. You've spent a lot of time looking at this stuff. Obviously, you've done tons of research. You did it for yourself. You went through the process of moving your email deliverability out of the promotional tab into the primary tab, and you've developed a lot of case studies. I've had a chance to go through and see some of the things that you've promoted to the email list. I have access to some of the Academy stuff over at Birdsend as well. And there's a really interesting case study that you have on this promo tab subject about how I think it was something like 73% increase. Was this the one that you were talking about earlier, or was this a different case study that you cover here?
The 73% is for my own email list. I managed to get out of promo tab and into the primary, and I increased the boost is 73%. That was by getting out of the promo tab.
Cool. So if folks are interested in sort of seeing what you did, getting a little bit more in depth around it, I think that we have a link here for them to be able to access that case study. Is that correct?
Yeah. Sure.
So where can they go, and what will they find when they get there?
Oh, okay. So you can go to emailwindfall.com. So emailwindfall.com. Basically, that page is like a bio page of me and my company, Birdsend, where we offer different marketing products and services to folks who are interested in email marketing. And this is we specifically target the coaches, consultants, and course creators niche. So from there you can see the different offers that we have. But at the very top, currently you can see that there's a case study that you can get by how I actually got the my emails out of the promo tab and into the primary tab. To be transparent, you need to opt in to get the case study. But when you click the link, it's opt in. But if it's not for you, you can just unsubscribe anytime just by going to the bottom of the email and unsubscribe. But it's a case study where, like I said just now, there's a 5-point system, 5 factors that impact the promo tab placement or primary tab placement.
That's awesome. And another thing that people can do on that page when they get over there, and I highly recommend it, and this is not through my affiliate link either, is actually try out your software, which I think is the top item on the list of all the things that you offer as well. Birdsend email marketing for content creators. And you offer a free trial, if I remember correctly, for people to get in there and play around.
Yes, free trial. Yes.
Excellent. Well, I highly recommend it because I love the platform, easy to navigate, and you've really been intentional about the way that you've designed it and the things that you prioritize specifically to these types of users, course creators, coaches, consultants, bloggers, content creators, et cetera. And so I suggest that not only do folks opt in to see a little bit about the case study, get a sense of the email marketing style that you use personally as you follow up, but also try out the tool, which is a pretty awesome tool. So, Welly, thank you so much for taking the time to chat and open our eyes to the situation as it pertains to deliverability of emails.
Hey, David, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here, sharing my learnings. So it's great to be here.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to this episode, please share it with them. And if you have some positive feedback for us, we always love to hear that. You can head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review if you'd like. Until next time, this is David Baer, and you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.